I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, getting ready to put another week into the books. That's, I don't know if I've ever said this. You know, I started getting excited for the weekend for a weird reason. On Saturday mornings, there's a website I go to that has got a... On Fridays, they post a Friday fail thing. And so they've got all kinds of just funny... Everything from memes just down to, you know, pictures of things... toilets installed the wrong way. I mean, just it's just everything. It's just, well, I think everybody's familiar now with what a fail blog is. And then the commenters come in and they start posting a bunch of videos of, you know, it was other fails and actually some pretty amazing things that people do skill wise. I saw a video the other day of a guy who he was juggling three Rubik's cubes and solving them at the same time. You understand what I'm saying? He's juggling three Rubik's cubes, and as they're hitting his hands, he's actually twisting them and solving them. I think it was under 4 minutes, something like 3 minutes and 40 seconds. He was able to juggle three Rubik's cubes at the same time he was solving all three of them. So there's all kinds of these kinds of things. And so my Saturday mornings, it's one of the most peaceful times of my week, as stupid as that sounds, and I know how ridiculous it sounds, but I actually start getting excited about it. I think, oh, it takes me about an hour to an hour and a half to go through this long stream of a lot of funny stuff, some inspiring stuff, some goofy stuff, some aggravating stuff. There's commenters on this site that try to make everything political, so I can't read the comments because it reminds me of society, and it is my chance to escape society for a while, and just look at human beings doing something dumb. A lot of clips on there of what guys do to guys. Ladies, I don't know how much you understand what guys do to guys as we're growing up. I saw one the other day where a guy was laying in his bed. It looked like he was probably passed out. They had been partying, and so his friends thought it would be funny to coat one of his arms in either Everclear or lighter fluid. I think it was Everclear. Lighter fluid would probably do a little more damage, but... So they put some alcohol on his arm, and then they poke him to wake him up, and then they set his arm on fire. This is the kind of stuff that guys do to other guys. But I went through a lot of that stuff with my friends, so it always cracks me up to see the things. Really, a lot of things that could have gone tragically, tragically wrong. Somehow we escaped all of it just doing horrifically dangerous things to each other. But I don't know. It's like a palate cleanser. For the week, to just get out and look at something very goofy. I guess I should not judge if people have got guilty pleasures, because that is mine. So here's a show I just have to put together, you know, just to get me through a Friday, and I'll do some other work this afternoon and this evening, but as of tomorrow, my world will make sense as I look at my extended Friday fail thing. For today, Friday, though, on the show, next hour we will do False Flag Friday, and finish up with tons of clips for this week on the crazy train. Quotes of the day today, Libertarian Party tweeted out, "When it comes to lockdowns, the justification for more regulation was always, quote, the science keeps changing. When it comes to climate change, the justification for more regulation is always, quote, the science is settled. The state will use any fabrication to justify its tyranny." Libertarian Party also tweeted out, "It shouldn't need to be said, but we are also against theft, fraud, terrorism, and murder when officers of the state are the perpetrators." Libertarian argument is basically that the government should not be allowed to do anything that an individual citizen can't do. Can you even imagine if they had to live with the same laws that we do? And there was a there's a great meme that goes out just to really kind of show you. I think we lack so much historical context. Government schools don't teach these things. Most Americans don't understand these things when we look. And I talked around Independence Day about the fact that we live under, you know, much more onerous taxation and involvement and a real tyranny in this country now than we did in 1976 when we launched an American Revolution. It's far worse now. Go look at the little taxes that the colonists rebelled against back in 1776 and then stack that up against the myriad of regulations and fines and fees and taxes that we're subjected to today. And it was just a tiny percentage of what we pay today that they started a whole nation about. They were so fed up with it. Today we are significantly more oppressed than we were in 1776 by the British Crown. And yet we just put up with it. But this was just an interesting meme that says 126 years ago, you didn't have to ask for permission from the government to collect rainwater, go fishing, own a property, start a business, build a home, get married, hunt, own a weapon, cut hair, sell a product, protest, or sell food. You can do virtually nothing without being extorted by the government and obtaining their permission first. If you still think you're free, you're deluding yourself. You're just a free-range human living on a tax farm. Amen. Amen. This show is so subtly structured that it might not be obvious to the untrained mind exactly all of the things that I'm working on here. I typically will have themes for the shows. I have regular segments. I've got a Tech Tuesday, a Hump Day Health. I've got Freedom and Prosperity Hour, and today we've got False Flag Friday, and this week on the Crazy Train. I do regular segments, but I also end up with themes that run throughout a week, and this one I've kind of stumbled across in light of the Friends creator coming out and apologizing for her wildly successful series, because it didn't have more inclusivity. But here on this show, we've been making reference to the fact that for some reason, I don't know what it is, just the difference in the sexes, that Friends is a chick show and Seinfeld was a guy show. And it got me thinking yesterday as I talked about it with Stone Clanton. You know, I think that I've got some friends that are, of course, they're all guys, that are all Seinfeld fans, and we'll bandy about these lines. Even at my age, I still have the immature mind to quote sitcom lines. But Seinfeld is life. If you were a Seinfeld fan, you realize they covered just about everything that ever happens to you at any time during the course of the seasons, because it was an observational show, really just about life. As they say for the show, it's really about nothing. At the same time, it was actually about everything. But I thought it was kind of funny. Really, I think Seinfeld informs my political view, and there was an episode, if anybody remembers, The Opposite. And it just struck me yesterday that really my political view right now in the United States is we should just do the opposite. If you saw the episode, George Costanza, the idiot on the show, the foil, realized his life, bad things are always happening to him. He realizes his instincts have been wrong on everything, and so he just needs to do the exact opposite of what he has been doing before. It's a great episode. I won't spoil it for you. If you haven't seen this one, go check out Seinfeld, The Opposite. I think it streams on Netflix right now. I'm not sure where it is. But anyway, this was his speech. And I played this for you in the context of the United States of America. Just think about if we applied this philosophy to our own country these days.
Why did it all turn out like this for me? I had so much promise. I was personable. I was bright. Oh, maybe not academically speaking, but I was perceptive. I always know when someone's uncomfortable at a party.
Got an napkin over there?
It all became very clear to me sitting out there today that every decision I've ever made in my entire life has been wrong. My life is the complete opposite of everything I want it to be. Every instinct I have in every aspect of life, be it something to wear, something to eat, it's all been wrong. Everyone.
Tuna on toast, coleslaw, cup of coffee.
Yeah. No, wait a minute. I always have tuna on toast. Nothing's ever worked out for me with tuna on toast. I want the complete opposite of tuna on toast. Chicken salad on rye. Untoasted. with a side of potato salad and a cup of tea.
So I think this is my new political philosophy. When you look out at what has happened, and I, this is rattling around in my head, so I'm just going to say it, really ever since the boomers took control of our government. Maybe a little bit. I take that back. Even earlier than that, way back into the 50s and the 60s even, really coming out of World War II. Basically, everything that we have chosen to do in this country has been wrong. Whether it's welfare or warfare, whether it's been the drug war, the war on poverty, whether it's been the direction of our education system, the regulations put on our business and entrepreneurship in this country, everything that we have done to this point is wrong. And I suggest we employ the George Costanza method for resuscitating our lives here in the United States by doing everything exactly opposite of the way we've done it for the past 60 years. I'll be right back.
I went home with a waitress the way I always do. How was I?
As I talk about the subtle structure of this show, the not-so-subtle structure of this show, as I've explained, we are living through something historic, and I'm going to narrate and try to deconstruct the actual economics of what we're going through right now. Retail sales, the markets were up today. They were celebrating that retail sales rose 1% in June, slightly better than the 0.9% estimate. Now, here's the funny thing, that you won't hear this in the headline number, but it was reported on here. I had to double check this because I thought that I was correct in this. The numbers are not adjusted for inflation. So retail sales rose 1%. The acknowledged inflation on a month-over-month basis was 1.3%, which means that retail sales, as far as how much people actually bought, what they bought, how many goods and services they purchased, was actually down 0.4%. But wait, there's more. We already know that you take any official inflation rate that the government tells you, and you need to double it, right? So a 1.3% month-over-month rise in inflation reported by the government is obviously at least a 2.5% inflationary rise. Retail sales, just take in what actual retail sales are. So if they are 1%, but inflation month to month was 2.5%, then retail sales actually went down. It's strange that the market doesn't seem to see that. And it is up. But in the truly bizarre, the truly bizarro world that we live in, I saw this headline, 50% chance of recession in the next year. This is a Bloomberg article. Listen to this. Odds are now close to even that the U.S. economy will slip into a recession within the next year as persistent and rapid inflation emboldens the Federal Reserve to pursue larger interest rate hikes. The probability, this is according to Bloomberg and The Economist that will be mentioned here, the probability of a downturn over the next 12 months stands at 47.5%, up sharply from the 30% odds in June, according to the latest Bloomberg monthly survey of economists. In March, those odds were just 20%. The latest survey was conducted July 8th through 14th with 34 economists responding about the chances of a recession. Now, let me explain to you why this is truly bizarre. This is 34 economists give a 47.5% chance, less than half, that we may have a recession in the next year. The first quarter of this year was reported, it was down, 1.5%. If you get two quarters of negative growth, that is technically a recession. Now, notwithstanding, they are trying to redefine it, much like they redefined the term vaccine, literally. They went in, CDC went in and changed the language of what a vaccine was to make the current gene therapies fit. And they are trying now to redefine what has been accepted as a recession for probably well over 100 years now. But the first quarter of this year, was negative growth. And the Atlanta Fed, this is one of the Federal Reserve banks. You can go online and see this, as can these 34 economists. I think I need to start air quoting that here in the studio. The Atlanta Fed Now report has been saying for weeks that the second quarter will be negative growth, following the first quarter of negative growth, which is the definition of a recession, which means we are in one right now. How do you get 34, air quotes here in the studio, economists to say, well, we think there's a 47.5% chance we may be in a recession sometime in the next 12 months, when all of the numbers are pointing to the fact we are sitting smack dab into a recession right this minute? The latest estimate from the Atlanta Federal Reserve Bank. These are the people that put out the reports. They started out a few months ago saying the second quarter was going to come in at a positive 2.2%. That went down to something like 1.8%. Then it went down to 1.2%. But for several weeks now, it's been in the negatives, and the latest estimate is a negative 1.2%. This was the forecast as of July 8th. So a 34, air quotes here in the studio, economist saying, well, there's a possibility. I mean, it's less than half, 47.5%. There's a possibility we may go into a recession in the next year. The actual Federal Reserve Bank is telling you we're in one right now. This is like a weatherman telling you, well, the next chance of rain is maybe next week, while he's standing outside being soaked in a thunderstorm. No, we're not expecting any rain until next week. Go ahead and make your plans accordingly. Set up your picnics. Dude, you're soaking. Can you not feel that on your skin? It is raining right now. No. I think there's a 50% chance it may rain in a week, but not today, as the water drips down his face. I mean, this is just bizarre that these things can even be reported in the same media. Now, I do talk a lot about the Federal Reserve because I explained to you it's the Death Star. It's one of the most important things anybody could possibly understand. Don't talk about politics if you don't understand the Federal Reserve because you don't know what you're talking about. The Federal Reserve had gotten into some problems probably about a year ago now, where they found out that some of the big guys at the Fed had been trading stocks before they made announcements on whether or not they were going to raise or lower interest rates or any of these things that move markets. And it turned out that some of the big cheeses at the Federal Reserve had been making pretty significant $4 or $5 million bets on the market right before they made some announcements that actually moved the markets in the directions that benefited them. The good news is, I mean, that sounds a little suspicious, doesn't it? I mean, you know, we get this sense from people like Congress critters that I think Nancy Pelosi has just put a $5 million bet. She's invested $5 million in NVIDIA. Currently, right now, they're discussing some contracts with that technology. Interesting enough. We all kind of suspect that these people trade on inside information. They use their positions of power to enrich themselves. We all kind of have that sense, don't we? Well, just want you to understand, just rest assured, that's not the case. In what is likely the least surprising news headline of the day, the Federal Reserve's watchdog has cleared Chairman Jerome Powell and former Vice Chair Richard Clarida of any wrongdoing in their trading activity. Here is the Inspector General, Mark Bialik. He sent this letter out June 11th. It was just published yesterday. Quote, "We did not find any evidence to substantiate the allegations that former Vice Chair Clarida or you violated laws, rules, regulations, or policies related to trading activities as investigated by our office. The Federal Reserve has investigated itself and has found and has cleared itself of any wrongdoing." So we can all just stop thinking that these people are corrupt and self-dealing for power and profit with their offices, because they have investigated themselves and found that there was nothing untoward going on. In this letter, it's kind of funny. It talks about the fact that all of the trades when, you know, Powell sold out of the market before it tanked because they were raising interest rates, or I don't know the exact timing of these things, but, you know, fortuitously timed trades, I'll just put it that way. Lucky coincidences, I guess. And the letter is all about how they were selling stocks to contribute to charity. Oh, they were just giving their money away. It just happened to be that they sold at the peak. And it wasn't because they were taking profits before the market went down. It was because they were trying to sell to raise money to send to charities. It said, we found no evidence that you or your spouse had any contemporaneous knowledge that the five transactions were executed during the blackout period. As such, we found that you did not violate the FOMC trading blackout rule. This was during a time where they were not supposed to be able to, either prior to or after announcements. I believe it's prior to any announcements or any policy decisions. They're supposed to be constrained from doing any trades. Turns out, I think it was his wife. His wife just didn't understand the blackout period. He hadn't come down. Hey, honey, don't trade in our account today. We're about to do some sensitive stuff. It would look bad. They forgot to have that conversation. And so, you know, the wife started selling stuff before the market started to tank and they locked in profits. But it was all for charity. And it was just a big oopsie. The Federal Reserve has investigated itself and found that there are nothing to see there. Absolutely amazing. Couple other stories we'll get to in just a second. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll go ahead and throw it in here since we're talking a little bit of economic news. It's been pretty amazing to see people around the world. Well, let me put it this way. People around the world that are not Americans are fighting back against a lot of the things that are taking place, particularly economically right now. We saw the Canadian truckers do their thing. Now, to our credit, our truckers tried. It was just, you know, the Canadian truckers were first movers. They got most of the attention. We had some heroic truckers go to Washington, D.C. Of course, our media did a blackout on it. And really, a lot of the COVID restrictions had been released by then. And we didn't have the big cross-border problems that the Canadian truckers did. So kind of petered out. Well, we've put up some mild protests. But right now, we're seeing the Dutch farmers taking on their government in a hardcore way over some of the restrictions on nitrogen. They actually have like some minister of nitrogen in Denmark. But this is an interesting story. You want to talk about people who put their lives on the line to go ahead and protest? We got people here who won't go to a school board meeting because they don't want to delay dinner by an hour. They don't want to miss their shows or whatever the excuse is that they won't go to a school board meeting to take the masks off their kids or demand there not be vaccine mandates for children who are immune to bad results from COVID. They find reasons to not make it to a school board meeting. In other countries, they are literally risking their lives. While U.S. snowflakes are all too happy to talk the talk, which remains free even despite Biden's hyperinflation, Chinese residents are increasingly walking the walk. First, it was the violent outcry against mandatory COVID vaccines that put an end to Beijing's desire to forcibly inoculate all Beijing residents in just 48 hours. Do you understand this? These are a people who are horrifically oppressed by a totalitarian, deadly government. Witness the Tiananmen Square massacre. And the Chinese residents took 48 hours for Chinese residents to stop a vaccine mandate in China. That's courage right now. Violent outcry against mandatory COVID vaccines have put an end to Beijing's desire to forcibly inoculate all Beijing residents in just 48 hours, a feat not all of America's armed militias have been able to achieve, and now it's a grassroots push for what appears to be a debt jubilee as millions of homeowners suddenly stop paying their mortgages. This is in China. A shocking move that has sent shockwaves across China's capital markets and has sparked panic within China's political leadership circles. As Bloomberg reported overnight, a rapidly increasing number of, quote, disgruntled Chinese home buyers, unquote, are refusing to pay mortgages for unfinished construction projects, exacerbating the country's real estate woes and stoking fears that the crisis will spread to the wider financial system as countless mortgages default. They're going on a mortgage strike in China. My understanding is that every day the number of people that are stopped paying mortgages because they were sold this whole debt-based system too. Even the Chinese, we think about them and their drab clothes, communists. No, no, no. The Chinese government and this weird hodgepodge of capitalism, they have a middle class in China now. They had convinced their citizens, too, to go out and buy all these homes. They always go up in value. This is what will get you, you know, rich in China. And so they have sold this debt-based model. This is why I tell people who are all hell-bent on the idea of we need to face off with China militarily. If you just cool your jets a little bit, just calm down. China is an economic basket case. They will take care of themselves. Much like the United States is destroying itself from within, China is doing the same thing. We don't need to start another war. But the Chinese have been hoodwinked into this debt-based model, too. In China, they were having people go and speculate and get one, two, three, four townhomes or condominiums in some of the high-rises. They finally realize over in China that they've been sold a bill of goods over there, and they are just saying, nope. We're just not going to pay our mortgages. This alone, should it catch on. And again, you have to admire the courage. Now, I'm no fan of the Chinese government whatsoever. I have no beef with Chinese people. The only reason I'm not an oppressed Chinese citizen in a communist system is because I just happen to have been born in the United States. I didn't earn that right. I just lucked up. I have nothing against the Chinese citizens, but these are courageous people. They are going against a government. If you've seen some of the COVID stuff that's gone on there, I mean, it's been a while. It's taken them a while to get all charged up. If you've seen some of these white-suited hazmat thugs that have just kicked in doors in China and drug people out, literally screaming over the past couple of years, but even the Chinese have finally had it. Interesting to see. I love to see the freedom movements. I love to see the Sri Lankans storming the citadel there in Sri Lanka and running their president off, and they've actually got other stories about that. The rats are abandoning the ship around the world. Let me find this list real quick before I take a quick break. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson resigned. Days later, former Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe was assassinated. A few days passed, and both the President and Prime Minister of Sri Lanka resigned and fled the country. Today, with the ruling governments in a state of turmoil, Estonian Prime Minister Kaja Kallas and Italian Prime Minister Mario Draghi have both tendered their resignations. I got to tell you, something's going on around the world. The rats are trying to flee the ship. Wouldn't it be nice if we could get a movement like that here in the United States? Yeah, we'll see. It's going to come to it eventually. Just may take a while. Be right back. Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. Next hour, we'll get into our regular segments. But this hour, I'm really thrilled to have a guest with me today. This is Bowen Eason. He is the owner over at Livingston Mercantile Exchange and The Gathering Restaurant. And Bowen, thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Mike.
Let me get you to pull that mic down to you just a little bit there. I saw you yesterday as I was going to The Gathering. I was telling Bowen, I had every intention to go to the gym yesterday. This is when I usually go, is during lunchtime. I'll go to the gym. But as soon as the guys said that they were going to The Gathering and I realized it was Red Beans and Rice Day, which is Thursdays, right?
Right.
I dumped my gym commitment. I called my buddy and told him I wasn't coming, and I went to The Gathering to have your red beans and rice because I think it's fantastic.
Well, we appreciate that. We've got blue plates every day of the week.
Tuesday
we have a hamburger steak. Wednesday, we have our famous fried pork chop. People just love that pork chop with gravy.
Yes.
Thursday's red beans and rice, like you said. And then Friday, we have a catfish special. We run a $12 catfish plate. So it's two pieces of catfish and two sides for $12. I know everybody's hurting with inflation, so we're doing all we can to make it easy for you to go out to eat. And then Sunday, of course, we have our Sunday afternoon slow-roasted pot roast. Melt in your mouth. It's so good.
Yeah. Y'all have some entertainment out there on Sundays as well?
We do. Sunday nights we have entertainment. This Sunday night we actually have a young man named Ethan Kellum who is playing for us, and he's got quite the following, and he's really good. So come out Sunday night. He plays from like 5:30 to 8:30.
Do they do that out there on that deck? Is that where he plays, or they play inside?
They play inside. It's 100 degrees outside.
Yeah. So we don't, that's kind of why I was wondering.
We used the deck this fall.
Yeah, you've got a nice deck out there, though. It's shaded anyway.
So it's a but nice... when it's, you know, the humidity is like it is, it's hot in the shade.
So. Yeah, that's what I tell everybody. In Mississippi, you know, I used to drive a Jeep Wrangler, and I was like, there's about 6 weeks of the year where it's really great. You know, the other times it's a little iffy. There's a period of time where when you stop in the sun in Mississippi in a convertible, you're really regretting your decisions. But anyway, yeah, you've got a fantastic restaurant. It's beautiful out there. It's such a pretty place. How old is Gathering?
Well, we've been there, it'll be 8 years this October.
Yeah.
And it's been quite the adventure with COVID lockdowns.
Yeah, you've lived through a lot, haven't you?
Oh, my gosh, that was just incredible. I will remember, I looked at my wife after 2 weeks of doing to-go food only, and I said, we're not going to make it.
Yeah.
And I went downstairs in the little mercantile store because nobody had anything to do.
Yeah.
Exploded.
Really?
And we had toilet paper. I looked at Mr. Johnny, one of my gas guys. We do full service gas,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah.
And he looked like he was exhausted. And I said, Johnny, what is wrong? He said, Mr. Bowen, we sold 10,000 crickets today.
Oh, my gosh.
We were selling so many fishing poles and
yeah,
beer and crickets and minnows and worms. And we still do that. And yeah, it has not slowed down. So that was kind of a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, lucky you had that to kind of pivot to.
That's right.
The
That's
other
right.
half of the building was being utilized while one half was not. Yeah, it has just been absolutely nuts. And my heart just goes out to... you know, I'm very familiar with some people who own restaurants. I talk to anybody I run into, restaurant, really any industry. I'm always curious to know what labor's like, what costs are like. How do you even plan for menu and pricing these days when you do not know from basically week to week what products you can get in and what they're going to cost?
Yeah, well, so far we have not had the product shortage thing has kind of calmed down a little bit,
yeah,
but the cost is not.
Yeah.
So you have to weekly look at your invoices and see, because the salesmen are so busy, they don't always tell you it's
right.
gone up.
Right.
The price of chicken is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Price of catfish is up 20%. I mean, it's crazy, and you just got to watch it and pivot.
Yeah.
But you also have to be sensitive because, I mean, people, you want people to come out and eat, but if it's too expensive, they're going to not come.
So, well, that's the double whammy, is
yeah.
that you now have higher cost of goods for what you're having to purchase, but you have to be price sensitive because everybody else has got higher utilities, higher gas prices.
Absolutely.
They have less disposable income. Mm-hmm. There is no, you don't have any pricing power necessarily because
right.
people are not awash in their cash right now.
No.
So you're still competing for, you know, the dollars they have.
Sure.
So it's a tough spot to be
it
in.
It is. And the labor cost has gone up.
Yeah.
As we were talking about earlier, you know, I can remember people picketing outside McDonald's wanting $15 an hour. You kidding me?
Right.
If I could find somebody for $15 an hour now,
yeah,
I'd take them.
Yeah, I know. That $15 an hour, turns out it doesn't do a damn thing for your standard of living. They're finding out.
Not.
We always knew it wouldn't, but,
right.
You know, we are there now. So how has labor been? Have you been able to keep the place staffed?
We have. We've been fortunate. We've got some good people, and we really try and create an environment where they feel appreciated.
You right.
know, we have hospitality for the customers. Equally, we have hospitality for the
yeah,
employees.
You should.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You've got to treat them
like be a family.
Well, you got to treat them like they're volunteers.
Right, right.
Because they really are.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's right. Well, your food's fantastic. What's your restaurant background? Have you done things before the gathering?
Yes, you may have heard of a concept called steak and ale.
Oh, yeah.
So I did independent restaurants in Jackson. I'm from Jackson. And then I hired on with steak and ale in the early 80s.
Hey, I trained with Bennigan's.
Did you really?
Back in the restaurant days. Yeah, absolutely.
I was with steak and ale for 10 years.
It's the same company is the reason
yeah,
I bring
yeah,
it up.
Yeah,
yeah. Bowen knows that. Yeah.
I worked for steak and ale for 10 years. And then a buddy of mine called me and said, hey, there's this hot new concept. You ought to check it out. And it was Outback Steakhouse.
Oh, wow.
And I went
okay.
to work for them in 1991.
Yeah.
I was with them for 22 years and had the opportunity to run the franchise in Mississippi and Western Tennessee and then got promoted to regional vice president.
Wow.
So I was the regional vice president for the Southeast for 10 years.
Yeah.
And I knew Hilton Hotels and Delta Airlines better than I knew my family. So
you might have known my dad. My dad was in charge of passenger service out at the airport here.
Probably
so,
did.
Yeah, you probably
did.
Probably ran into him some too. So we've crossed paths probably a few times and didn't know it.
Yeah, and then the opportunity came up to do the Livingston Mercantile and the Gathering, and I thought, well, what? I only live 2 miles from there. So,
yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody who's ever owned a restaurant knows it's nice to be close. Because you're going to be spending a lot of time
That's
going
right.
back and forth those days that you get home, you sit down on the couch and the phone rings,
yeah.
and then you got to turn right back around and go
back.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. I want to get a little bit more into the industry and you know, what you guys offer. I'm a big fan of the place. It's a beautiful restaurant.
Thank
it
you.
Really is a very pretty place. And Livingston is such a neat little community out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a little bit of a Mayberry vibe going on out there.
Full
service gas station. Are you
yeah.
kidding me? It's like going back in the 1950s and being treated good at a gas station. So anyway, we're talking to Bowen Eason with Livingston Mercantile and The Gathering. We'll come back with him in just a minute.
Yeah. It's been a ride. I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one. Now some of you might still be in that place. If you're trying to get out, just follow me.
All right, we are back. We're talking to Bowen Eason from Livingston Mercantile and, most importantly to me, The Gathering Restaurant. We go there a lot. I'm sure we go there a lot. So we've always enjoyed it. What have you seen economically with restaurants? I mean, it's got to be tough. I've got a long background in restaurants. Mm-hmm. I did about 15 years running restaurants when I've been talking about it off air. So I'm very attuned to the in a good economy, a restaurant is hard to run.
Right.
I mean, so what have you been seeing lately? Is the inflation, do you think, is starting to tap on?
I do. I think gas prices and inflation are making people stop and think.
Yeah.
Can I take my family of five out to eat dinner?
Right.
You know, and so we're doing what we can with the specials. Like I talked about the Friday special. Tuesday and Wednesday night, we also offer, we call it Italian night. We have chicken parmesan. And we also have our Catherine's Bolognese, and we're doing it for $10.
Yeah, gosh.
So you can come eat for $10 on Tuesday and Wednesday night.
Right.
Just doing what we can, you know.
Right. Well, you've got a little bit of a destination place, too, out there. So
absolutely.
You know,
we have to have something to draw people. Lake Caroline is really growing up, which is wonderful. Flora's growing up, which is unbelievable. So we are seeing more traffic than before. I moved out there in 2005, and I never had to stop. Hope cops not listening, but I never had to stop at the stop sign at 22 and 463 because there was no traffic.
Yeah.
Now you may be 10 cars deep.
Right.
So it's getting better, but we try and have entertainment as often as we can. We mentioned Sunday night, tonight, we have a young man from Greenwood playing named Stephen Pilla. He plays at the Alluvian Hotel a lot.
And
he's going to be playing for us tonight.
What kind of stuff?
Just cover music.
Yeah.
You know, he's really good, though. Has a good following, so it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, bring some good energy to something. Makes it a night out.
Yeah.
You really are in an area. You say you've been out there since 2005. I'm always amazed by Madison County.
Yeah.
You know, particularly people. I talk to people all the time. I've been out here for 30 years, and I think, oh, my gosh, what have you seen over 30 years? I think you're going to be in the middle of metropolitan Madison.
We might be.
In the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, just everything's moving out the way. It's so pretty. I used to live in Madison and come down. I would turn right there by your restaurant because I'd come down 463 to 22.
Right.
I love that drive. It's so peaceful.
It's beautiful.
Coming into this radio show where I sometimes get rather aggravated and steamed about political stuff. Just that Zen drive, looking at the cows and, you know, coming through. But
you know the history of Livingston, don't you?
No, I really don't.
Livingston used to be the county seat of Madison County.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Back in the 1830s, they split Yazoo County because people got tired of going to Beatty's Bluff to do their courthouse business. And they built a courthouse right there where we are in the square. You can still see the cedar trees that line the old square.
Oh, that's
cool.
They had a courthouse. I love that stuff.
And they had a freshwater spring. And then the post office moved to Flora in the late 1830s, and the railroad came through Canton, and everybody in Livingston went, why are we here? And the town began to go away.
Yeah.
So it's really neat to see it coming back.
Right. Well, if someone hasn't been out there, if you've never been out to Livingston, it's done like a little small town square, essentially. It's just got shops along, a couple little streets there. You've got a church out there.
We did.
Yeah. So it is a quaint little place, but it's all new and fresh, and you know, it's got some modern feels on the inside, but it's just pretty on the outside too.
It's been fun.
Yeah. Yeah. There's cooking school out there. There's a whole bunch of different stuff.
Candy
out there.
Store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. More stuff coming out that way?
We hope so. We hope so.
Yeah. Well, you know, the restaurant, do you do lunch specials during the week? Do you have a brunch out there on Sundays?
No, we do brunch on Saturdays.
Saturdays, that's right.
From 10 to 2. You really need to come check it out. We have pancakes and chicken and biscuit and all kinds of great stuff for brunch.
Yeah.
And mimosas.
Okay, there you go. that's my crowd right there.
We do specials, seafood and steak at night. They are very talented. They may have, you know, red snapper or grouper or scallops. Featured at night, and we also do a butcher's cut. Could be a ribeye, could be a culotte steak over French fries, which is really, and we call it steak frites.
That
it's
sounds
really
fantastic.
Cool. Yeah,
I love French fries and steak juice.
That's true.
Yeah, well, I didn't realize that, you know, I only met you a few times. Didn't know you had such a strong restaurant background. You in the kitchen cooking back there sometimes?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, when you run a restaurant and you have one.
You do everything.
You do everything.
Right.
You may have to wash dishes. You may have to cook. You may have to host. You might even have to bartend.
Yeah. I, there were a lot of days in my restaurant career I remember tucking my tie into my button-down shirt, and I'd be over that fryer all night long because somebody didn't show up. So that's the way it goes.
This is all I've ever done is the restaurant business. I went to college, and while I was looking for a job, I took a job as a waiter at a restaurant in Jackson called Dennery's.
Oh, yeah.
Back when Mr. Dennery was still alive. He taught me how to butter a baked potato. I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
I loved it and just never got out of it.
Well, tell us real quick. Only got a few seconds left. Tell us how everybody can find you. We look you up.
You can find us on the internet at livingstonmercantile.com, or you can find us on Facebook and Instagram.
Okay.
Both.
All right. And live entertainment tonight, Sunday night.
Yep.
Y'all get out there. The lunch deals are fantastic. You may run into the WYEB crowd out there because we are out there for lunch. Yeah.
We appreciate it.
All right. Been talking to Bowen Eason. That's Livingston Mercantile and The Gathering. Y'all check it out. This weekend will be a good time to make your first trip. We'll be back in a minute.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah. What is it good for?
Absolutely.
Nothing.
Uh-huh.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYEB. Thanks for joining me today. We're about to get into our regular segments in False Flag Friday, where we deconstruct Americans' foreign policy mistakes. As I said earlier, with the George Costanza from Seinfeld reference, we should be doing everything exactly the opposite way we've been doing it for the last 50 years here. And foreign policy is probably one of the most glaring examples of that. We'll get into that in just a second and then finish up with This Week on the Crazy Train, last half of this hour. I just do want to say, after having Bowen Eason here from Livingston Mercantile and The Gathering Restaurant, you know, these local restaurants, I am intimately familiar with some of these operations. And when I run into these restaurateurs, because of my experience in the restaurant business, understanding how hard it is to run a restaurant successfully in normal times, it is especially difficult now. What I think is extremely important, I'm going to talk about Your Pie later because they've been a sponsor of this show and WYAB for about 5 years now. I'm big fans of their food, of their staff, of their restaurant. I'll be talking about them later to do my plug for them. But these locally owned restaurants, and we certainly are partial to the ones here on WYAB. We were talking to the people at Railroad Pizza the other day here in the quaint town of Flora, Mississippi. You need to go out and support. If you're going to go out, go to some of these locally owned restaurants. They are the backbone of the community. They're the ones that feed us. They put a tremendous amount of effort. If you've not done time in the restaurant business, you need to. Ditto for your children. You need to encourage your children to take on any job from bussing tables to washing dishes to waiting tables so they understand what is involved in pulling off feeding hundreds of people a day. It is not an easy gig. And it gives you some understanding of why tipping is expected. Make sure you're a good tipper, too. I don't care where you go. Make sure you tip. I could do a whole segment on that as well. But anyway, these locally owned restaurants, whether it's The Gathering, Your Pie, Railroad Pizza, or any of the other great sponsors here on WYEB or locally owned restaurants around, we need to support these people. It's a tough business. They are hanging in there. They've gotten the 1-2 punch from COVID and now inflation. We need to support them. If you're making a decision to go out and eat at night, pick one of these locally owned restaurants. All right, into my segment here. False Flag Friday. Libertarian Party tweeted out, "We oppose the subsidizing any foreign nation's military defense. Doing so forces the U.S. to inherit all the enemies of these countries, inflates the currency to pay for it, and entangles the U.S. in fruitless foreign conflicts. Americans need a reprieve after decades of war." This is one of the main things that drives me towards libertarianism, is acknowledging the Founding Fathers, no foreign entanglements, peace and commerce with all nations, foreign entanglements with none. And one thing that I think is really lost on conservatives, many people who were sold on the warfare state, You believe that our militarism equates to patriotism here in the United States. Understand that these $700, $800, $1 trillion annual national security budgets, these are inflationary. The money to pay for a, and it is over $1 trillion now, when you include the Department of Defense, all of the agencies, the NSA, Department of Homeland Security, all of these are over $1 trillion a year. We cannot afford that, and we have been printing money to pay for it. So those of you out there who say this is Bidenflation, you need to just take a little bit of responsibility for cheering for endless military budgets here, national, air quotes here in the studio, defense budgets, because we have printed up money to take to tackle these things. Of course, this has been fantastic for defense contractors and for the people who that money lines their pockets. But for Americans, a good chunk of the inflation that you're paying for right now is because of the money we have printed up to maintain the warfare state and the empire that America has built. This did not work out well for the Romans. The way that they maintained their empire in the Roman Empire was to debase their currency. That was the only way they could maintain their empire. We currently have 800 military bases in something like 140 nations around the world right now that we cannot afford. And I'm going to take a break and I'm going to come back and we're going to go through the foreign policy disasters that will continue to exacerbate that situation as we try to maintain and expand this empire that we cannot afford. Lots going on actually around the world, not just in Ukraine. Joe Biden is in Saudi Arabia right now as we speak, embarrassing the United States. We're going to talk a little bit about that and even other things. Bad policies from the Trump administration are continuing and being ramped up within the Biden administration as well. So we're going to take a look at these things. But it is a lesson to be learned. Giant national security budgets. Maintaining an American empire is part of the reason you're paying high gas prices, high rents. The inflation that you're seeing right now is not just COVID spending. It is decades and decades of these huge defense budgets. We had to print up the money to do that, and this is part of the reason you're paying higher prices. I'm looking at my notes, foreign policy stuff. I guess I should issue a trigger alert. I'm gonna say some unpopular things here. I may have already said unpopular things. It is difficult within a lot of conservative circles to challenge the endless streams of defense spending, but I do it because it's madness. And as I say, we should be doing the opposite of everything we've been doing for the last 50 years. Joe Biden right now is in Saudi Arabia embarrassing us. This was a news story about his trip. This is his first trip to the Middle East, and he is visiting the usual suspects in Saudi Arabia and Israel.
President Biden arrives in the Middle East this morning, visiting Israel before heading to Saudi Arabia on Friday. He's expected to meet with Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, part of an effort to lower gas prices. U.S. intelligence found that bin Salman ordered the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. His widow is now urging Biden to demand the release of Saudi political prisoners.
I'm sure President Biden can ask on behalf of Jamal Khashoggi to release all the opinion prisoners.
You know, the ones the Saudis haven't already beheaded, I guess.
And first one of them, all of them, regardless what is the background of them or what ideology they follow.
President Biden has defended the trip, saying human rights will be on the agenda.
Of course. Human rights will be on the agenda. These humanitarians over in Saudi Arabia. It's just always interesting to me. Now, we have to remember the first foreign trip abroad for Donald Trump was to Saudi Arabia to do the sword dance with the Saudis. It's just always funny for me to think these U.S. presidents keep going over to Saudi Arabia. We're buddies with Saudi Arabia. We got 3,000 troops right now in Saudi Arabia protecting the kingdom of Saudi Arabia, the only country implicated in the 9/11 attacks back in 2001. I mean, it's indisputable, not even a secret. But our presidents go over there hat in hand Joe Biden scrambling. You can guarantee he's making all kinds of promises of weapons and money, anything he can to maybe increase oil production ahead of the midterms so that the price of oil comes down. There's no telling. He is giving away the store right now, groveling to this this MBS dictator over in Saudi Arabia. There was a funny story about the fact that, you know, Joe Biden, I mean, the left does this to themselves a lot. They have to try to straddle these fences with their supporters. A lot of people very upset that he is going over there to meet with MBS after the murder of Khashoggi and the other tremendous human rights abuses that go on in Saudi Arabia. So there was a concerted effort to say, well, what he's going to do is he's going to not shake hands with him. Because the U.S. is all about style over substance, symbolism over any level of substance whatsoever. So there was a, well, what he's going to do is it would be awkward to shake hands with a bunch of people and then go over to Saudi Arabia and not shake hands with MBS. But if he shakes hands with MBS, that's going to look bad to this particular constituency of the left. And they're going to be upset about it, the human rights, you know, the people who take exception with MBS being a murderer. They're going to take exception with that. So his plan was, I just won't shake hands. I'll say that this story was reported. I'll just go over there, Joe, and don't shake hands with anybody. Say it's a COVID protocol. And so what you're going to do is go over there and bump elbows and bump fists. He had a whole plan set up, White House policy, to go over there just to avoid this handshake with MBS. He was going to avoid handshaking with anybody. The funny thing is this dementia patient couldn't remember that, and he got to Israel and started just doing a ton of handshakes because they stuck their hands out. I believe it was Netanyahu actually made fun of Joe Biden for this, everybody acknowledging that this policy was out there. And so Netanyahu, the really despicable former leader of Israel, the warmonger, Benjamin Netanyahu, made a slow motion video of the handshake, a deep, long, firm handshake, basically just to embarrass Joe Biden and make it more awkward for him. So anyway, that's going on right now. I'm not even going to get into the John Bolton stuff, but I did want to talk about one of the reasons for this visit here. And this is where I tell you, I'm about to get in some unpopular stuff here. Joe Biden's going over there. He's doing the Israel and Saudi Arabian junket that all presidents do, where we essentially kind of grovel to both of them for some reason. A lot of people have talked about these Abraham Accords that Donald Trump did. I talked about these at the time. My opinion on these has not changed. There are stories out now that, and this is where I know I'm not popular, because people thought it was just a genius move for Donald Trump to rip apart the nuclear agreement with Iran. Even though Iran had not been shown to have violated the agreement, it meant there was not going to need to be a war. There was essentially a treaty in place. And Donald Trump ripped this up. Might have been the only good thing Barack Obama did was come to a peace deal with Iran. Trump ripped it up. There was some thought that Joe Biden might put it back into place, but there's a story, and I don't have time really to get into it. But now the Iranians have tried to resuscitate this deal, and Joe Biden's really having none of it. And this is why he's going to Israel and to Saudi Arabia. All of you out there who have been cheering and talked about, you know, because I saw it on all these conservative shows and all the neocons saying what Donald Trump has done for world peace by bringing together the UAE and Saudi Arabia and Israel. What that actually is what Donald Trump created and now Joe Biden will perpetuate is essentially another NATO. It's a Middle East NATO. The way that the NATO forces are this belligerent force that has been provoking and now actively engaging with Russia, leading us to possibly the brink of World War III. Now we have created, through the Trump administration and now the Biden administration, essentially a NATO, an alliance in the Middle East, all against Iran, which will end up leading to anyone, war, more belligerence towards Iran. And again, Iran's not coming to take your stuff. I don't want to live under the mullahs of Iran. But it's not our business. Conservatives were tricked into the hostilities towards Iran the same way you were tricked into hostilities against Iraq, same way you were tricked into hostilities against Syria, the same way you've been tricked into hostilities against North Korea, the same way both sides of the aisle have been tricked into hostilities against Russia. The hostilities against Iran are no different. You think they are because Donald Trump said Iran's the boogeyman over there now. And so what they've created in the Middle East is basically like a Middle East NATO, an alliance of people that will now be belligerent to Iran and ultimately end up kicking something off. So beware of that. Connor Freeman from the Libertarian Institute wrote, Barack Obama and Trump promised to be different, respectively, to end the mindset that led to the Iraq War and leave the Middle East where we never should have been in the first place. But they lied. Instead, both doubled down on the wars in the Middle East and Africa and picked unnecessary fights with Russia and China. Along with diplomacy eschewing Biden, they made the global thermonuclear war a serious possibility. Hopefully we have finally learned some hard lessons during the last 30 years of mass murder and destruction. We cannot allow Biden, quote, Israel's man in Washington, unquote, the man who wrote the Patriot Act and whipped the Senate into supporting the Iraq War, to now start a war with Iran. The JCPOA is key to taking the war off the table, and hence why it has practically no support in Washington, D.C. And that's exactly the case. Joe Biden has no mind of his own, and he has surrounded himself with the same war hawks and neocon, bloodthirsty psychopaths in Washington, D.C. that Donald Trump did, Barack Obama did, George W. Bush, the last 50 years, as I say. When it comes to Ukraine... And what's going on over there? The money is still flowing. That is Ukraine, known to be the biggest money laundering destination basically on the planet. And our guys are getting in on the action over there. And so this is kind of a tie together between Iran and Ukraine.
We turn now to the war in Ukraine tonight. The U.S. announcing a major new infusion of cash to Ukraine, $1.7 billion. Woo-hoo! And it comes amid these warnings that Iran is about to offer significant help to Russia in fighting the Ukrainians. Our foreign correspondent James Longman reporting in from Ukraine tonight.
A huge new tranche of aid is being provided by the U.S., David. $1.7 billion.
So go to your paychecks. Today's Friday. It's payday. Take a look at that federal withholding of your paycheck and just get that warm and fuzzy feeling that you still got a good chunk of that change heading over to Ukraine.
Help maintain Ukraine's essential services like healthcare. And just as President Biden prepares for his trip to the Middle East, Vladimir Putin is heading to Tehran next week for talks with both the Iranian and Turkish leaders. Now, the talks will be focused on Syria, but Ukraine will be front and center, especially now that the United States has said that Tehran is planning on sending hundreds of combat drones to Moscow for help in its war here in Ukraine. As foreign help for both sides builds, it's clear just how global the consequences of this war have become.
What could possibly go wrong? I love the pearl clutching of American authorities that Iran dares to help provide any military assistance to Russia as we flood tens of billions of dollars of weapons and foreign aid into Ukraine to help kill Russians. We have a problem with Iran providing them with any drones. The hypocrisy of our foreign policies, I don't think there's any equal. There's a lot of hypocrisy out there in the world when it comes to foreign policy. United States sets an entirely new bar on that. Be right back.
What's the frequency, can it be shot?
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and we're finishing up another week. We do it the same way every Friday at about 10:30. We come in with This Week on the Crazy Train. So there's never a shortage of material for this segment of the show as we chronicle the world's descent into madness. California kind of leading some of the crazy. That's nothing new. Gun makers and dealers in California will be required now to block firearm sales to anyone they have, quote, reasonable cause to believe is at substantial risk, unquote, of using a gun illegally or of harming themselves or others under a new law that Governor Gavin Newsom announced Tuesday that he had signed. This is a subjective requirement that goes farther than current background checks or prohibitions on selling guns to people prohibited from owning them. The regulation is part of the new law creating a good conduct code for gun makers and dealers that also allows anyone who suffers harm from violations to sue. California, I tell you what, if California has just about anybody left in it in 50 years, I'd be surprised. So now, if they you just have a cause, just a reasonable cause, and reasonable to a government agency of any kind, is certainly something to be suspicious of. If you have a reasonable cause to believe you're a risk, they will not sell you a gun in California. To add to the real craziness of California, this ad, I'm sure a lot of people have already heard this now. This was an ad. There's rumblings on the table that Gavin Newsom is going to be the Democratic nominee for president. He's got the looks. He's got the charisma. And he certainly is evil enough to run this government that we've got right now. But Gavin Newsom, jockeying for some more national attention, ran an ad in Florida that was just, when you talk about just bizarro world, this is as bizarre as it gets. This is an ad run from Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, to the people of Florida.
It's Independence Day, so let's talk about what's going on in America. Freedom, it's under attack in your state. Your Republican leaders, they're banning books, making it harder to vote, restricting speech in classrooms, even criminalizing women and doctors. I urge all of you living in Florida to join the fight, or join us in California, where we still believe in freedom. Freedom of speech, freedom to choose, freedom from hate, and the freedom to love. Don't let them take your freedom.
Paid for by Newsom for California Governor 2022.
So, Gavin Newsom preaching to Florida about freedom. Gavin Newsom closed down all of his businesses that locked his citizens inside, that rolled out vaccine mandates that forced people to take a shot they didn't want. Gavin Newsom lectures Florida on freedom. It is truly bizarre. Let's see. When it comes to COVID stuff, the crazy continues. The news on these shots, not so special. Is anybody noticing the trend that is occurring there? But it has not stopped. There seems to be a new level of desperation around people getting shots. I don't know if this is just Pfizer marketing. I don't know if they're trying to kill us. I don't know exactly what the purpose is, but there's a renewed level of desperation for people to get this stuff jammed into their arms.
Many Americans are under-vaccinated, meaning they are not up to date on their COVID-19 vaccines. Not all people over the age of 50 have received their first booster dose. Of those who received their first booster dose, only 28% of those over 50 have received a second booster dose. And of those over the age of 65, only 34% have received their second booster dose. So my message right now is very simple. It's essential that these Americans, as Dr. Shah said, get their second booster shot right away.
You remember when it was a conspiracy theory that you were going to have to take 3-4 shots? Now they're saying, oh, we can't believe the number of people that haven't gotten shot number 4. Now, that's very interesting that they're still pushing these things so heavily in light of the research that's coming out about these things. The facts that studies have shown and been published and peer-reviewed that show you're actually more likely to contract COVID if you've been vaccinated. You're actually more likely to be hospitalized. A study out of, I think it's Manitoba, Canada, has shown that you are more likely to be hospitalized, more likely to die if you are double-jabbed or boosted. But they continue to push these things.
TV's Beth McDonnell.
Even if you've had COVID twice.
Caught me off guard the first time and then even the second time, not knowing that I could get it again. But I followed the basic precautions in terms of just, like, you know, keeping your distance, wearing a mask.
Or picked it up recently.
Now, this is in Canada, where you know they are basically all jabbed up there. Strong adherence to the vaccine. Strangely enough, they're having problems with COVID still.
It was unpleasant. I got the tight throat. My sister's was more nasal. She got hit badly because she had to miss her grad trip.
You may not be protected against a newer strain of the virus. A new University of Toronto study looking at antibodies generated in people who were either vaccinated or recovered from an illness before 2022 found they were unable to neutralize the virus circulating today.
The Omicron is very much the Houdini strain.
There we go. I love, see, you know, we're going to get into the marketing again today. And they started out with the Ninja. I'm waiting. They started calling it the Ninja variant. I think that's entirely marketable and scary. Man, you know, if you turn out your lights at home at night and just walk into your bed, this thing could jump out at you. Ninja, and now it's the Houdini variant. I like that too.
Of the of the virus, meaning it can escape the detection and the immune response that our bodies mount against previous versions of the virus and previous vaccines.
Which just says these vaccines are completely worthless against what's going on right now. They're saying it out loud, but you just heard Rochelle Walensky telling you, you got to go out and keep getting these same shots, these same useless shots.
That in mind, and the seventh wave upon us, some doctors are pushing for second boosters or fourth doses to be expanded to the general population.
And you know what this reminded me of? I was listening to this clip as I was getting ready for the show. This is kind of like standing in the rain and saying, well, you're going to get wet if you don't put on another cotton T-shirt. You put on another cotton T-shirt, still getting wet. You need to put on another cotton T-shirt. It doesn't matter. One worthless shot or four worthless shots that is not addressing this Houdini strain at all. It doesn't matter how many of them you get. Multiplying by zero is still zero.
Others are encouraging people to keep up with what's already available, as three doses provide excellent protection against hospitalization and death.
I think it's confusing to the public when we start talking about fourth doses when 10 million Canadian adults do not have the third dose. The single most important strategy for everyone listening is if you haven't had a third dose and you're an adult, go get one.
It's a message ringing true for 51-year-old Mikkel Nielsen, sick with COVID for 2.5 weeks in May.
It was absolute hell. I had breathing problems, very much fatigue. I actually almost went to the hospital twice.
Nielsen has three shots and recently spoke to his doctor about getting the fourth, something he plans to do when he becomes eligible.
Sounds like the shots are just knocking it out of the park, doesn't it? Three shots, almost went to the hospital twice, suffered with COVID for 2 weeks. The problem? He didn't have the fourth shot.
His advice? Be cautious.
I've lost two family members. I know other people that have lost people as well. It still is serious. And while some people don't have a serious infection, it really can be.
Meanwhile, the U of T researchers hope their test can be used for measuring people's immunity on a wider scale to figure out who needs a booster and when. Beth McDonnell, CTV News.
Well, I can tell you what their answer is going to be to who needs a booster and when. The answers to that will be everybody and today. Here in the U.S., we're also hyperventilating about the latest. What did they just report that, Canada? They say the seventh wave. Oh, my God, this is exhausting.
If you look at that map, let's put it up again. It shows how the whole country is in red.
This is the overnight sensation, Don Lemon. Don Lemon on CNN. They're still plugging away, serving their Pfizer masters.
And that's just the cases that we know about, since I said a lot of people.
The whole country is in red, and those are just the cases we know about. I don't pay attention to these maps. Is there a color that's worse than red?
Aren't testing. What is going on with this new variant, doctor?
Well, it's about as contagious as measles, and it has the most immune evasion of any variant we've seen. And, you know, while sort of a lot of people claim victory in February and municipalities dropped their mitigation mask mandates, the virus kept mutating, and it mutated and it mutated. And now there's BA5. And our vaccine.
So we're still at the BAs, which I like because I call them the, you know, I think the BA is the sheep's ba.
Vaccines aren't really very good with preventing you from getting infected. Thankfully and luckily, they're still really good at preventing you from getting super sick or needing to be hospitalized or even dying. So our vaccines have really held for that, but they haven't really held very well now for infection. And if you have not had COVID in the past, and you go into a crowded place now, you are likely to come out with BA5.
No, you're going to die. You go to a crowded place these days, you're going to die. Unless you get your fourth shot, your fifth shot, even though the fourth shot, the logic on this stuff is absolutely unbelievable. They keep going back to this. Well, it does keep you from getting hospitalized or dying, yet place after place, Israel, Germany. Most recently this morning, I read the study from Manitoba that shows you're actually more likely to go to the hospital or die if you've been triple or quadruple vaxxed.
From all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, final segment for the week. I'll leave with my parting piece of advice the same way every single week. I am consistent in this, and that is if you're looking for a place to go out to eat this weekend, please make sure you check out Your Pie, another locally owned, veteran-owned business here. They are at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway up there in Gluckstadt, right across the street from Germantown High School. These are 10 and 14-inch brick oven-fired pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, gelato, craft beers, and wine. Televisions to catch your sporting events. It's a great family atmosphere. Wednesday nights, they got a great trivia night. You can bring a team out there of anywhere from 2 to 10 people and compete for prizes and play some trivia and enjoy yourself out there. They got Thirsty Thursdays. They've got discounts for first responders during the course of the week. And on Wednesdays, it is Warrior Wednesday, 15% off for people in the military. So definitely check out Your Pie. You're going to want to download their app. You'll get points every time you get a purchase. You scan a little barcode down there. You get points for freebies, pizzas, drinks, all kinds of desserts, those kinds of things. So make sure you download the app. That is Your Pie, 340 Calhoun Station Parkway up in Gluckstadt. Express your inner pizza and express that you heard it here on WYAB. We like them to know we're out there shilling for them because we want to send people up there. You will be happy. I've never had anybody say, dang, why'd you send me up there? They're always thrilled we made the recommendation. So please go check them out. I'll tell you a dirty little secret about conservative radio stations, conservative talk show hosts. They're thrilled that Joe Biden is the president. Now, they don't want to see the hurtling towards destruction that the United States is undergoing under this man, but it makes for great radio. For me, I'm not a partisan that way. I'm disgruntled with every president, but I've got to thank him for all of the gaffes. And if you do a segment called This Week on the Crazy Train, there is no better conductor than Joe Biden. This week, however, he was actually eclipsed by his wife. When it comes to the gaffes, this one stuck to a Jill Biden.
This morning, First Lady Jill Biden facing criticism after telling a group of Latino voters they were, quote, as unique as breakfast tacos.
The diversity of this community, as distinct as the bodegas of the...
That was more insulting to me, the bodegas. It's bodegas. I mean, you want to talk about somebody who does not give a whit about Hispanic small business owners. It's somebody who pronounces bodegas.
The Bronx... as beautiful as the blossoms of Miami and as unique as the breakfast tacos here in San Antonio is your strength.
The comment came during a prepared speech in San Antonio, Texas, where the largest Latino civil rights group in the country gathered for a conference. Now the National Association of Hispanic Journalists is responding in a tweet, encouraging, quote, Dr. Biden and her speechwriting team to take the time in the future to better understand the complexities of our people and communities. The group adding, we are not tacos.
Swing and a miss for the Bidens, but don't worry. Where she had the quality gaffe of the week, Joe Biden had the quantity gaffes of the week. This was his most famous one.
It is noteworthy that the percentage of women who registered to vote and cast a ballot is consistently higher than the percentage of the men who do so. End of quote. Repeat the line. Women are not without electoral and...
This is where he read the teleprompter where it told him to repeat the line. So he read, repeat the line. This is a funny one. Joe Biden was referring to, I believe this was given one of his gun speeches, talking about the one of the mass school shootings. But to remind you that he is older than God, gets his years wrong on when this last shooting took place.
Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, 1918, 17 dead.
You remember that mass shooting with muskets back in 1918 that Joe Biden was privy to? With all of this, we know what's happening to Joe Biden's polling numbers.
President Biden travels to the Middle East today with his poll numbers dropping. His approval rating is down to 33%. According to a New York Times poll, 64% of Democrats want the party to nominate a different candidate in 2024. In response, the White House said it's focusing on delivering for the American people, not on polls. But there is a glimmer of hope for Biden. The poll found if the election were held today, he'd beat former President Trump 44% to 41%.
That was funny to me about that. I've talked about this a lot over the years, is everybody only believes the polls that show what they want them to show. So when people hear there's a 33% approval rating for Joe Biden, most people go, yeah, that's an accurate poll. Nobody likes this guy. It's just that hardcore you know, typical Democrat that refuses to admit they made a mistake. Those polls are right. But then when you hear a poll that shows that he would actually beat Donald Trump by 3 percentage points, you go, oh, polls are all garbage. We love to cherry pick which polls are right and which polls aren't. What a poll between Joe Biden and Donald Trump says at a 44 to 41, that equals to 85% using my public school math. What that poll means to me is there's only 15% of people in this country that are thinking that don't want either one of those disasters back in the White House. Of course, Joe Biden does not believe this poll himself. He believes they are, and he got a little testy with a reporter asked about that.
Mr. President, what's your message to Democrats who don't want you to run again?
They want me to run.
Two-thirds say they
read
don't.
Read the poll. Read the polls, Jack. You guys are all the same.
Read the polls, Jack. They want me to run.
A poll showed that 92% of Democrats, if I ran, would vote for me.
A majority of Democrats say they don't want you to run again in 2024.
No. 92% said if I did, they'd vote for me.
All right. That was President Biden yesterday insisting that he has not lost support among his own party, even as a new poll shows that 64% of Democrat voters do not want him to run again in 2024. The 92% number that the president refers to is only for Democrats who would vote for him in a rematch with President Trump if the election was held today.
92%, Jack. They want me to run. He's overseas, as I said, embarrassing us overseas now. He's tired of embarrassing us domestically, so he's taken his crazy train across the world, and he said this in Israel just a couple of days ago.
I will once more return to the hollow ground of Yad Vashem honor 6 million.
That's tough. Put these Hebrew words in front of Joe Biden on a teleprompter. That's a tough one for him.
I will once more return to the hollow ground of Yad Vashem to honor 6 million Jewish lives were stolen in the genocide and continue, which we must do every day, continue to bear witness. To keep alive the truth and honor of the Holocaust, horror of the Holocaust, honor those we lost.
We need to keep alive the honor of the Holocaust, according to Joe Biden. Somebody did finally ask him a tough question. You know, we're all sick of watching the media throw these softballs at Joe Biden, but somebody decided to ask him some tough questions.
I'm dealing with gun violence.
What do you think about Hunter?
Because make no mistake. Sit down, you'll hear what I have to say.
What you think about Hunter, your son? There's a video of him arguing with a hooker about how much crack he has. What do you think about that, Mr. President?
Okay. Because make no mistake about it.
I don't know if you can hear the guy. I guess this was probably just a passerby, a brave citizen. He said, what do you think about the fact there's a video of Hunter out there arguing about the price of crack with a hooker? Strangely enough, he did not answer the question. It's good to hear a tough question being asked. Maxine Waters has a solution to our energy crisis. They had some hearings. I think this was on Capitol Hill. We were talking to some of the oil company executives who were basically saying, look, you people tell us every day you're going to put us out of business, that in 5 years, 10 years, you don't want any oil or gasoline to even be used. Why do you expect that we are going to invest in anything to save your butts right now prior to the midterms and make oil more plentiful? So they're kind of pleading their case. And Maxine Waters, the mental midget that is Maxine Waters, tells you what she envisions for the oil industry here in the United States.
Guarantee to the American people because of the inaction of the United States Congress, ever increasing prices unless the demand comes down, and the $5 will look like a very low price in the years to come if we are prohibited from finding new reserves, new opportunities to increase supplies.
And guess what this liberal would be all about? This liberal will be all about socializing.
Come on.
Be about.
You can get there. What are you going to do?
Basically, taking over and the government running all of your companies.
Oh, that's terrifying. So Maxine Waters' idea is to nationalize the oil companies. I'm going to start running short on time. This was, I don't have time to play this whole thing. You probably already have seen this. This was in the Roe versus Wade discussions between Josh Hawley, the congressman, or is a senator? I think he's a senator, and one of these professors from Berkeley, I believe, something along those lines, talking about, of course, women.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks to all of the witnesses for being here. Before I want to visit with you, Ms. Maskey, but before I do, I just want to clear one thing up. Professor Bridges, you said several times, you've used a phrase, I want to make sure I understand what you mean by it. You've referred to people with a capacity for pregnancy. Would that be women?
Many women, cis women, have the capacity for pregnancy. Many cis women do not have the capacity for pregnancy. There are also trans men who are capable of pregnancy, as well as non-binary people who are capable of pregnancy.
So this isn't really a women's rights issue. We can recognize
that this impacts women while also recognizing that it impacts other groups. Those things are not mutually exclusive, Senator Hawley.
So your view is that the core of this right then is about what?
So I want to recognize that your line of questioning is transphobic, and it opens up trans people to violence by not recognizing that.
Wow, you're saying that I'm opening up people to violence by asking whether or not women are the folks who can have pregnancies?
So I want to note that 1 out of 5 transgender persons have attempted suicide. So I think it's important
because of my line of questioning.
Because
we can't talk about it.
Because denying that trans people exist and pretending not to know that they exist.
I'm denying that trans people exist by asking you if you're talking about women having pregnancies.
Do you believe that men can get pregnant?
No, I don't think women can get
pregnant. So you are denying that trans people exist.
And that leads to violence. Is this how you run your classroom? Are students allowed?
Oh boy, you can't have a segment called This Week on the Crazy Train without that one. One more. Let's see if we can get into this one real quick.
A Texas woman is fighting a traffic ticket by arguing that her unborn baby counts as a passenger in her car. Brandy Batone was pulled over for driving alone in the carpool lane. She argues that the state's abortion law now recognizes a fetus as a person.
Yeah, there's your award for most creative use of the Roe versus Wade overturning. That's all the time I got. Have a great weekend. I'll see you on Monday.
No matter bye-bye. How hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how